Welcome to the X-Cast X-Files Podwatch, episode 50. Today, we're going to be talking about the season 5 two-part premiere, Redux. I'm your host, Sarah Blair, and with me is Clara Cook. Hi, Clara. How are you?
I'm good, Sarah. How are you doing?
I'm doing well, thanks. These two episodes are probably my favorite, along with, I think, Gethsemane is, you know, it's the three-part arc. It's probably my favorite mythology episodes out of the whole series. But let's get to that in a second. This episode opens the fifth season, and it's in two parts. So we've got Redux 1 and 2. The first episode premiered November 2nd in 1997, and the second part aired November 7th. They were written by Chris Carter, both of these episodes, and then R.W. Goodwin directed part 1, and Kim Manners directed part 2. So, I love these episodes. What do you think, Clara?
I do love these episodes. Scully's cancer arc is like one of my favorite sort of story arcs of the series, and I have to say it's grown on me more as I've got older, and I sort of identify with her more. I do, after watching them again, though, I do have actually quite a few criticisms, which aren't like terrible, awful criticisms, but are things that I noticed this time around that I hadn't noticed before. But I have to say this is one of the better mythology arcs than a lot of the other ones in the X-Files.
Yeah, I definitely love a lot of the twists and how things got kind of turned around and things like that. So I know that the critics were not too crazy about these episodes, but I think that they were, the cast and Chris Carter and the directors were pretty excited about them and thought that they were great. So what are some of your thoughts on that?
I think that some of the criticisms, I know a few of them surrounded the idea that they, especially in Redux 2, but it's also in Redux 1, Chris Carter puts in twists into the story that get resolved quite quickly. Or I guess what I'm saying is, like, you know, is it really Samantha that Mulder is seeing? And we kind of know it's not. You know, is a cigarette-smoking man actually dead? And we kind of know he's not. So it's like these revealing these kind of truths and then taking them away again. So there's never really any resolution. So although they, you know, in Redux 1, the idea that the actual whole alien conspiracy is actually not a conspiracy of aliens, it's a conspiracy of men, and then never really proving that either, and then taking that away again. So I think if you were a critic watching it and you were doing some sort of analysis, a critical analysis of it, I think you'd probably find that quite frustrating. The idea that they're going to throw, you know, is Skinner a villain? Oh, no, he's not, you know. And at this stage in the series, it's kind of hard to imagine Skinner being a villain. It's kind of,
right,
you know, yet again, like, it's kind of a bit much to expect the audience and the viewer to believe that Skinner is behind Scully's cancer. Also, Critchcow's long way of speaking, the exposition with all the American history.
Mm-hmm. Chris Carter and his famous writing.
His voiceovers. I think that maybe someone who's not a real, true X-Files fan, someone who doesn't love the X-Files as much as, like, the rest of us, might find that a bit wearisome, you know, and might mm-hmm. struggle to, like, get through all of that. But there is quite a lot of decent action in the second and Redux 2, and critics would miss the emotional punch of it all, you know, the connection yeah. between Mulder and Scully, and also Scully's family, just all the sort of the acting out between the different characters. The actors do incredibly well in these two-parters, and there's intimate mm-hmm. scenes in the hospital.
It's so emotional, right?
Very yeah. dramatic, yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm.
Did you see these episodes when they first aired?
I do. And actually, I think because I was younger, I was much more naive. Like, I really thought the yes. cigarette-smoking man might be dead.
Same.
And
yes. I cried and was, like, so devastated. It's like, they cannot kill Mulder. And I remember that whole summer, I was just sick about it. I was like, they can't kill Mulder. Why would they kill Mulder? He's the whole show. They can't do that. Not allowed.
And then the idea that, like CSM, you know, the cigarette smoking man might be dead, that also was really upsetting. And the fact that he died, you know, or he supposedly died, like, while clutching a photo of Mulder and his sister, I was like, oh my gosh.
Oh yeah.
They have some sort of family connection, you know? And then I started thinking, well, he's like the father of one of them, you know? And I actually thought the scene between Mulder and his fake sister was actually really, really upsetting. You know, the idea that Samantha might come back and want nothing to do with her brother is actually pretty heartbreaking and kind of a good twist, really.
Yeah, I agree. And, you know, watching it again, I kind of realized how manipulative that scene is on her part. Because, like, I feel like all the other times I've watched it, I've mostly been thinking about Mulder and how he feels. This time I thought about, like, what's going through her head at this point? And I know she's not the real Samantha, because we know what happened to the real Samantha. Like, who is this person? Is she a clone? Like, is she, you know, she's obviously in cahoots with Cigarette Smoking Man. And what instructions has he given her? Like, I was thinking about him and her the whole time rewatching it. And it was a really kind of an interesting, I guess, way to, like, interpret it, because I had never seen it from that perspective before.
I also don't think Mulder thinks it's Samantha. The questions that he asks, the way that he lets her go, I think he knows it's not really Samantha, but yet he's indulging in it for a moment because he really wants it to be her.
Exactly. Like, he wants to believe so bad that he's sort of just wishing and hoping. And she's a great actress. I mean, she really lays it on thick, for sure. Especially that part when she asks about he talks about going to see Mom. She's like, Mom is alive. And she's just like, she really, I mean, she nails it to where you actually really want to believe with Mulder that it's her, you know?
And it's just extra pain for Mulder at a time where he really doesn't need any more pain, you know? The idea that his belief in this conspiracy has actually been, you know, his belief has been misplaced. He's believed some sort of complete lie for the last however many years of his life. And that might have actually inadvertently led to Scully being given cancer. And that Scully, who he needs, is going to end up dying. And then it turns out his sister doesn't want sister doesn't want anything to do with him. His long-lost sister he's been searching for, you know, since he was, like, a young man. You know, it's, like, prime breakdown material. So, I mean, I can see why he goes to the hospital, sort of sob in the dark. And he kind of does that a lot, doesn't he, when he's really upset. So he goes to where no one can see him and sobs in the dark. Oh, poor Mulder.
Poor angsty Mulder. Poor Mulder.
I have to say, though, the biggest thing that stresses me out with this whole three-parter is this idea that aliens, that there aren't aliens, it's all just a big hoax. I don't know whether it's that Mulder is actually still keeping an open mind or whether he actually really believes Kritschkow. It's kind of vague, isn't it? You don't really know exactly how he completely and utterly feels. He does say he's been lied to, he does say that he's believed in something that's not true and all that sort of thing. But the idea that Mulder would completely disregard the evidence of aliens after seeing, like, the boxcar full of aliens in Anasazi, and also after seeing Jeremiah Smith, you know, I mean, how do you explain Jeremiah Smith changing faces and stuff?
And the bounty hunter.
The bounty hunter. Yeah, and then Kritschkow, he just basically walks around in a government facility with Kritschkow. Kritschkow just has a long, long monologue. And then Mulder's, like, sold on it. And he doesn't actually get any evidence. Neither of them get any evidence. They do a lot of walking around, but they don't have any evidence at the end of it. And that frustrates me.
I mean, he sees that room with those women, so he knows what happened to Scully. And, like, I really liked this setup because I loved the idea that it presented, and I loved the new direction that Chris Carter could have taken it. And not that he could have, you know, denied the existence of aliens, but I think it would have helped a lot more to sort of take this idea and sort of go from there. Like, because I feel like he presented this idea of the fact that there were, you know, the men were in charge of this conspiracy and, you know, the aliens didn't exist. But, I mean, really, in the end, it was kind of like that, because the men, the syndicate were in charge of all this stuff, and they were experimenting on humans to get the vaccine. So, you know, Kritschkow is not entirely wrong. It's just that he doesn't have the whole story.
Yeah.
And I really wish that that had all been presented in a more coherent light, because the way it kind of ends up is you get that idea, but it's really convoluted in a way that I feel like Chris Carter is the only one who truly understands how it all fits together. So, yeah, like, the conspiracy stuff and all that, I really love the idea of it and the concept of it, but I think it could have been executed a lot better later on in the rest of the show. But I really like the setup, and I wish that it had gone more along those lines, because I think it could have been really cool.
Yeah, I mean, the idea that the government is working to... The idea that there are aliens, you're right, but that the government is working to get a vaccine to protect humanity against the aliens, but at the same time a byproduct of that is that they get a whole bunch of paranoid people in the population who believe in aliens, so they think, hey, we can use this to cover up other covert activities we're doing, like weapons testing or spying or something, and we can just make people think they're seeing a UFO and really what they're seeing is a stealth aircraft or something. I actually think that's a great idea. But that's not really clearly explained. And then at the end of it, you know, Critchcow's saying that there are no aliens. But like you said, he has half the story. He actually doesn't know there aren't aliens. But then it doesn't... Then I guess a lot of this doesn't explain, like, all the different types of aliens. You know, the sort of faceless shapeshifters and...
Well, yeah, because then you'd have to actually commit to a plot line. Stick with it. Can you tell that I'm bitter about being, like, jerked around by all this? Like, I feel like I love Chris Carter, but I feel like a lot of times he's so cavalier with all of that and the rules of his world that he's created. And it's sometimes really hard to be a fan because you don't know what the rules are. And in these episodes, it's like he really shows that, because he's like, well, let's tie up these ends from everything that we've had up to these first four seasons. Let's tie up some ends, but they're not really totally tied up, because everything that the cigarette smoking man shows Mulder turns out to not even be real. And Mulder says that towards the end of the second episode. He's like, what have you actually shown me? Nothing, because you haven't cured Scully's cancer. You haven't, you know, given me my sister, except to just, you just took her away again. And I didn't even know if she was real to begin with. So, like, he really dangles a lot of carrots, but he doesn't actually give anything away.
But that's kind of what the audience is saying to Chris Carter, really. I mean, you've got to think, like, if we could believe any of these resolutions are real, it would be very satisfying. But we can't. They're all sort of false climaxes, you know, because by this stage in the show, we don't really believe most of the stuff that we're being shown. And, like, we're so conditioned to disbelieve statements, like Mulder almost.
Yeah, exactly. Like, Mulder represents the audience of the X-Files.
Yeah, yeah.
It's a good metaphor for, like, we want to believe all this stuff, you know, but...
And I think the thing is, problem with that is that it reduces some of the power of the drama. And it reduces some of the power of the actual plot twist, because, you know, you're like, well, he's dead, but there was no body found. He's going to come back, you know. So there's never any, like, actual full, like, dramatic climax to anything. I think the fact that at this stage, you know, we know how little we trust the series when it tells us something or shows us something. So, you know, we know it's all going to reverse later on. And reverse the story later. I mean, there's an analogy here with Scully's cancer. You know, her cancer is cured because a chip is put back in her neck.
But is it? Because we don't actually know. Is it her faith or is it the chip?
Oh, yeah. Or I guess it could be her faith too. But, like, but if you take...
He doesn't even give us that.
And there's no indication that if she took the chip out, she would still be cured. I mean, does the chip cure her for once and for all? Or is it that she's got to live with a chip in the back of her neck for the rest of her life, and takes the chip out, the cancer will come back? I think if you're going to introduce a plot or a story arc, or you're going to introduce a plot device in the beginning or in the early stages of a show, and you're going to reintroduce it again and again, then you've got to somehow resolve it. Do you know what I mean? You can't introduce these random things that don't make sense in the narrative world of the actual series. and then never explain them later on. That, to me, is lazy writing. And I can't believe I'm going to say that on a podcast, but that's lazy writing to me. Yeah.
Like, I want to get to the last, like, 5 minutes of the show, because, seriously, like, best TV in the history of television. But, yeah, that part where Mulder is about to reveal the big reveal, and Skinner thinks he's going to reveal him or whatever. And just, like, the way he's so, like, wiggly in his seat, like he's about to poop his pants. I mean, like, just greatest acting. You know, I love Mitch Pledgey, so... It's like, yeah, I love that part. Like, Skinner, let's just talk about Skinner for a minute, because, like, he's so great in this episode, just all the way around.
Yeah, he's really good, especially when he's, like, in the hallway with Mulder at the beginning of Redux 2, and he's trying to get Mulder to sort of give him the information that he, you know, like, what happened? Did you kill this guy? You know, like, why are you doing this? But, yeah, it's good to have so much of Skinner in these two episodes.
Yeah. All right, let's talk about Scully really quick, because I want to get to her for sure. Absolutely. So what are your thoughts on Scully in this episode and her arc?
I never get tired of seeing Mulder barge into the hospital looking for Scully. I think that's always a nice scene. I think it's really, the relationship between Mulder and Scully is really strong in this episode. It's definitely very romantic, but it's not just like romantic in terms of, like, you know, romance between two people who love each other, but it's also there's a lot of affection between what feels like very old friends. And that's really nice. I think
they play it all so well. Yeah.
I think the scene between Mulder and Scully's brother is great. From the outside, you can kind of see how somebody who cares about Scully might feel that way about Mulder. You know, who is this jerk who gave you this disease, or at least inadvertently his actions led to having this disease. Scully's the conversation between Scully and her mother is really beautiful, where she talks about her faith and how she feels she's neglected her faith. Scully's sort of fear about dying, but also her bravery. It's just, yeah, she, I mean, Gillian Anderson does an amazing job in this episode. Yeah,
definitely. Yeah, amazing job. Definitely. So the last 5 minutes, did you see that coming? I did not. Every single time I watch it, I just get chills up my arms. The way it just, everything is set up so perfectly. I just love the last 5 minutes of this episode.
I love the way Mulder looks so satisfied after he said it. Mm-hmm. He sits back and he's like, oh yeah. Oh yeah, I exposed somebody. You know, and Skinner looks like shocked, you know. I actually did think Blevins was going to be somehow involved, just because we haven't seen him for like the last 94 episodes. And then suddenly he pops up again, and I guess it's like a nod to the pilot, but I thought he was going to die or something was going to happen. I didn't know he was going to be insinuated by Mulder. I did actually wonder, how is Mulder even what's Mulder going to say, you know, like, because, like, he didn't seem like he had any evidence. Like, he went in there without a file,
right? Well, he totally just guessed. He's like, I don't know, I guessed. Like, come on, Chris Carter, you can do better than that. But I did like that scene in Blevins' office when Mulder, he got called in and he's like, you need to name Skinner. And I think that's really when Mulder knew.
Yeah.
But he's like, I don't know, it's just a guess. Like, come on, you knew? Like, you've got a better reason than that to think, you know, he's involved in this. And out of all the people in that room that he could have named, it was him. Like, that's, you know, that's more than just a guess. I think Mulder's more intuitive than that. He has more training than that.
Yeah, I mean, he's a criminal profiler from
Oxford University. Yeah, with a degree in criminal profiling. Like, he can't read somebody better than that.
Yeah,
I mean, that would have been a better answer when Skinner asked him. He's like, "How did you know?" He's like, "Well, I got a degree in Oxford." Like, I know my stuff, Skinner. Come on, like, I just guessed. Please, that was not a guess. But yeah,
I also think it's equally strange that Scully suspects Mulder, Skinner, for so long, and I think that is another situation as well. Scully's pretty good at reading people. That's why they have the jobs that they have, and I don't think that she would, even in well into the second episode, I don't think she'd continue advising Mulder to name Skinner. I don't think she would do that. And it's out of character. It's false drama. It's false suspense. But the thing is, there's enough drama already between Mulder and Scully and Scully's family that I don't think they need to create this extra, like, who's the big bad boogeyman in the FBI. You know, they could have just been like, is Scully going to get cured? That would have been enough drama for me, I suppose. The ending is really, really sad. It's really happy because Scully's cured, but it's also really sad because Mulder is, like, sitting by himself in the hallway.
Yeah. Well, he's back to square one, essentially.
He's back to square one. Skinner's in there, you know, because Scully's family can actually, like, stand Skinner. Whereas, like, you know, like, you can see that Bill is he hates Mulder so much that Mulder has to sit outside. You know, I was just like, oh, guys, come on. And there he is, like, staring at a photo of Samantha, you know, and Scully's saved and Skinner's proved to be good, but where's Samantha? She's still not found, and he's really upset about it.
Poor Mulder.
I know.
Poor angsty Mulder. Overall, love these episodes.
Yeah, me too.
Probably my favorite mythology episodes. Great. That's it for today. Friends and X-Files, come find us on Twitter at @X_cast. Clara, what's your Twitter? Are you around on Twitter and Facebook?
Yeah, so my Twitter is @ClaraJeanMC.
And I am @SarahLBlair, SarahLBlair. You can let us know your thoughts on Twitter about these episodes or go on our Facebook group, The X-Files Basement, the X-Cast Podcast fan group. That's how you can search for us on there. And tomorrow, Tony and Darren will be up with episode 51 to talk about Unusual Suspects and Detour. So until then, trust no one.